Chapter 43. With Bated Breath. Every dog is entitled to one bite. Anonymous. Zelos felt bad to have to do it, but Milgazia and Val agreed that if Mrs. Saunders was willing to cooperate with them, they should use her. So Val met Gilles on the sly and turned over to him a carefully prepared folder of material, which he, in turn, was instructed to feed to his secret clan spy. However, in the past, when Gilles delivered information to his contact, the process was carefully layered and planned so as not to expose the spy's identity. And so, Gilles never learned who the contact was. Of course, he hardly cared as long as the payment was never short. Val, Zelos, and Milgazia, with their little trap set and baited, now had to wait patiently to find out who they snagged. Shira was annoyed. She was frustrated by Daniel Grauchera's total disinterest in and inability to either plan or execute any attack on the clan or shrine or the government of Seirun. She wasn't particularly proud of her own accomplishments, personally giving her own operatives mixed reviews. Dilgir was dead, deservedly, after the embarrassment he'd caused her when he'd blown his cover and allowed himself to be set up by the Slayer's kids. She had been brought to task. That had been dreadful. The shame, the shame. Her punishment was to lose her trusted minion, a loss of power, certainly. It had taken time and money to train Dilgir, even as deficient as he had been. Now, all she had left was Vrumagin and a man on loan to her called Zazen. Vrumagin was pretty worthless. His training had never taken place. He wasn't even a syndicate employee. As far as she could tell, he was loyal only to Professor Rezzo, but would do a job or two for her when he needed money. He'd detected an information leak from email transfers and fixed it. That had been useful, Shira thought. But his photography work had been unprofitable, as far as she could tell. Zelos had not become a basket case over the series of pictures, as she'd been promised. Zelos had proven to be a tough nut to crack. His training must have been superb, she summarized. Too bad Zelos wasn't independent. What she couldn't do with a man like him, as an underling, naturally, or... Which brought her back to Daniel, her lover and employer. Perhaps it was time to expand her love life. Zelos appeared adept enough. He was certainly appealing. Shira ruffled through the candid snapshots, pausing at the last one. She wondered who the lucky girl was sharing his bed. She murmured to herself as she punched in the office number on her desk phone. Yes, would you look up a certain young man's home phone number for me, please? He just graduated, I think. Zelos Metallium. Yes, thank you. The door to the inner office opened, and the principal stepped in.
Dear, have you seen that folder on the new budget cuts?
Grauchera asked. He walked around his desk and came to stand by her side, interrupting her call.
I want to review those numbers once again. You know, if those kids bring in the revenue I think they can from their musical, we ought to wipe out all the damage from those cuts, plus have a tidy sum to roll over for next year. I'd like to present this to the teachers at our meeting today.
Shira nodded as she jotted down the phone number, hung up the phone, and, with apparent disregard for the note, moved off to the filing cabinet. That's good news, Daniel. I've got those numbers here. She smiled. The man was a pathetic syndicate leader, but he made a damn good principal. With a quick, curious glance down at the neglected memo, the man made a mental note of the number and then remarked,
"Ah, wonderful. What would I do without you? I looked everywhere for that file."
He gave her arm an affectionate squeeze, then hustled off to his desk, eyes sparkling with excitement. Shira shook her head and sighed. She wondered if he could survive without her. Well, it was time to get in touch with that Zazan character and put him to work. It had been very thoughtful of her dear Daniel to loan him to her after Dilgir's death. She thought it was particularly endearing the way he tried to deny doing it, going so far as to profess a complete memory lapse concerning Zazen's existence. Daniel Groshera was a dear, but such a moron. Shara was determined to put a stop to that dangerous Slayer's musical, which, from the intelligence she could gather, was going to expose some sensitive information. Not a job for that stooge Vrumigan, certainly. Then again, maybe Zelos could stop it, as a favor to her. A big favor. Meanwhile, March erupted into March musical madness. Every day a new problem cropped up. Zelgadis met with Bobby and a few select band members to test his lighting sequencer and practice adjusting the timing manually to match with the music. Nothing ever worked like clockwork in a play, Zell knew from experience. Thus, he suspected that a musical would be even more chaotic, especially this one. For every single thing that operated as planned, two others malfunctioned automatically. "The only thing I can count on is my programming," Zell muttered, neglecting to note that with the use of computers, he made the complicated mess compound just that much faster. But that was only a part of the mess. There were so many actors to dress, practice, and touch base with, it became a full-time job, day and night, for Lena. She was tired of it after a short while and moved her creative energies onto more interesting problems. Usually when Lena was hell-bent on a particular path to destruction, Zell or Gowri or even miraculously Zelos was there to direct her back onto the high road, like when she insisted that they all be equipped on stage with harnesses for rope and pulley flying acrobatics. Zell nodded thoughtfully. Possibly you, Lena, could manage the flying maneuvers. But Amelia would surely collide into a set, bringing it down. Amelia was not present at the time, or he wouldn't have gotten away with that reference to her occasional teenage clumsiness. As it was, Zelos couldn't help himself and said in a little falsetto voice, ending with a smirk, "That was just so unjust, Mr. Zelgadis." Lena dismissed Zell with a snort, and Zelos with a smack on his back, and then started shouting directions to begin throwing ropes over the rafters. It was time for Gowri to put his size 14 foot down. "No flying, Lena. It makes me sick, being at heights like that, hanging by a rope." He hadn't meant that to sound harsh, but Zelos' silliness had gotten to him again. From the look on Lena's face, Gowri's complaint missed his mark. But before Lena had a chance to shoot back, Zelos fired off a round of his own points. "As tantalizing and as dangerous as it sounds, Miss Lena, sir, I would point out that Val has visible wings, which can't flap to imitate flying or which might become snared in the lines and break off, thus making for a costume design change that, Zelgadis tells me, is not happening this late in preparations. Not only that," he continued, "but he or someone else would risk looking ridiculous if he or they went into a dizzying spin during a serious fight scene." "Okay," she backed down with a shrug as the fight left her system. If both Zelos and Gowri could be in agreement, why bother? She decided to steer clear of that accident waiting to happen, and continued on her merry way. It was all beginning to sound like too much effort, and besides, she had other ideas that were even better. Indeed, not every disaster on the offing was evaded, especially when Lena was particularly set on it. For instance, one day she decided that they would not fake magic with imaginary illusions. What Lena wanted was fireworks. Zell, Zelos, and Gowri were all busy with others practicing a dance-slash-fight routine and missed their cues to rein Lena in this time. "I want big explosions with lots of smoke and sparks, not smoke and mirrors," she voiced to no one in particular. Val heard her, though, and agreed enthusiastically.
Gilles, he assured her, is my master of pyrotechnics and can put together anything you'd ever dreamed of.
I've got some pretty vivid dreams. He around to ask? Lena asked.
I'll get him.
A moment later, Gilles and Lena and Val were head-to-head, marking up a script with blasts and blammos and kablams. When Gowry found out, he was upset. It was too dangerous. A fire could start. Someone could get hurt. Lena agreed and put him on safety detail. The end. That taught him not to open his mouth again unless he had a ready solution at hand. So Lena could jump the rail once in a while, but the musical train was never fully derailed. It just kept rolling along. Kiki was naturally woven into their every waking minute. Zelos had settled the task of videotaping the performance on her shoulders, provided her a fat budget to purchase all the necessary equipment, and found her a talented flying fig assistant. If he had felt responsible for Hokuto's death before, he was now totally consumed by a guilty conscience over the murder of Kiki's parents. His solution was to simply shoulder an additional obligation, to ensure Kiki's future happiness. First of all, he had arranged and paid for the funeral. Next, he personally moved all Kiki's possessions out of the house he had built for her and over to the mayor's mansion. Well, he didn't actually carry the boxes, but he hired people to do it. What was important was that Kiki didn't have to do a thing. Then he just plumb did take it upon himself to ensure her personal safety from that moment on. He couldn't have done more if he'd actually married the girl. As it turned out, although she visited her aunt and uncle every week, she never lived with them above their shop. She became a ward of Mayor Phil, Amelia's adopted sister, and lived there until... well, that would be giving away the ending. Since Kiki couldn't bear returning to the house where her parents had been murdered, she insisted that Zelos retain the property and sell it or rent it out. She would never step past those doors again. A few weeks after the funeral, when the band was immersed in their musical preparations, Zelos received an interesting call pertaining to said property.
Hello, Detective Rio. Oh, what have I done now?
Zelos asked lightly, one morning at breakfast.
Val and Zell froze mid-bite and listened intently.
Oh, nothing, the kind detective replied on the other end of the line. I was just wondering what was to become of that house, the young girl's home whose parents were murdered. I understood your brother to say it had once been yours. Zelos explained that after rebuilding it, he gave it to Kiki's family, but now it was his to get rid of again.
I see, Rio said. Would you consider selling it to Dee and myself? We've been renting an apartment here in Seirun ever since we were reassigned, but with both kids, it's feeling small.
Both?
Carol is staying with us now as well. We could use another bedroom, quick, Rio laughed. And the Gabriel family is so close, with their kids who are friends and the park and the schools.
It's a great neighborhood,
Zelos agreed. The corner strip mall has it all for your eating out needs, and only a pleasant stroll away.
Sold.
So, Rio became more cautious. Does this mean the house is available?
Consider it yours, Zelos said with a smile. A wedding present.
Rio sputtered several things, one of which was,
How did you find out?
Dee told me that you had gone and made it official in Syrog before coming here. And yes, I meant that. I have a terrific lawyer who will write up a deed properly. I'll call you and we can all meet, and I'll give you the keys and you can sign the papers to make it all legal.
But it's so expensive. You must let us pay you something. We don't earn much on these stingy detective salaries, but I didn't call to ask you to give it away.
I know. That's what makes it so fun. It's giving away syndicate ill-gotten gains. It makes me feel all pure or something to do this. Besides, my stepfather, Lena, and Gowry, Mrs. Shearer, Kiki's aunt and uncle,
and lots of other friends of mine live in that neighborhood. They could use a couple of big, strong detectives nearby to look out for them, right? Ryo knew when he had lost. Stubborn a man as he was, he had discovered, in speaking to McGuinn earlier, that Zelos had come into a substantial inheritance, but he had no idea just how well healed the young man was. He knew, however, that he was known to be generous with his closest friends, and he smiled to think he was one of them now. I don't know what to say. The kids will be thrilled, but Dee, he's a proud man who isn't one to accept charity. Okay, then tell him you stopped me from blowing it up, and in return you have to move in and guard it. He'll believe that. I know he thinks I'm crazy. You're laughing, aren't you? I'm right, eh? I thought so. So, when we meet, I'll play the psychotic. You do service to me by taking the hunted property off my crazy hands. In the end, Ryo agreed. In a matter of weeks, the papers were signed and the moving van delivered the new family to its home. Hopefully, the house would become a happy home at last. One weekend, all the actors traveled to Mosquita to practice on the big stage there. It was the first time John and Miwan, who had taken to one another and to Zelos's generous home-slash-work offer quite well, would join the Slayers. John was very excited about playing his part, Zelos's evil father, especially the short purple wig. Miwan, as the terrible young Hellmaster boy, had only to change his clothes to fill the role. During a break, Lena discovered the backstage costumes, and for an hour or so, all the kids played dress-up. The Slayers girls all loved the runaway Miwan, as it turned out. He was just too cute, and they loved to dress him up. Miwan was so slim and short that he could wear girls' costumes as well as some of the adorable animal ones. John lost him to the squealing attention of Sylphiel, Kiki, and Amelia one morning, and didn't see him again until it was time for lunch. Hey, Zelos, John called out. Zelos just ran out, or up, into the rafter scaffolding, to see if there's room for more speakers. The sound system is archaic, Zell explained. So, anything I can help you with? Maybe. It's not important. I was just looking for Miwan. I hadn't seen him around. Zelgadis pointed to a dressing room. He's in need of rescuing. He doesn't know how to tell the girls no, and I think he's locked himself in one of the rooms to avoid them. John chuckled. Thanks, man. We haven't known each other long, but I've learned he's not very assertive around girls. Zell, get your ass back over here! Lena yelled above the din. Who is? Zell muttered to John, pivoted, and trotted over to see what was troubling Lena, darling. His sensitive ears could make out John's muffled chuckles. Get Zelos down here. I want you and him in these outfits pronto, Lena ordered. He's on a mission, Zell replied curtly. He would assert his manhood. From the gods? Lena growled. Nearly. No, from Bobby and me. We're looking to upgrade the sound system. I am not your devoted slave. I have willpower of my own. The two stood nose to nose. Alas, fiery hot rapidly melted away at the icy cool. Moments later, I'll go see how he's doing. Zell paused, then added, defeated this time around. Put the costumes in a room. Why fight it? Not long afterwards, Gowri, Val, Zell, and Zelos donned Lena's specially chosen mail and armor, leftovers gleaned from a medieval play, and lined up for a photograph. They were really cool-looking, and it was some time before the boys could be persuaded to take them off. Gowri,
hey, you know we're the Four Horsemen.
Huh? Val paused mid-stride. Grinning, Gowri replied,
'Cause we horsed around all the time. Yahoo!
The tall blonde man then proceeded to lead the quartet in noisy, roaring attacks on Zangalus, or Zolf, or Rodimus. Very silly stuff. Lena waved them off. Once she'd taken their picture, she was done with them. She wanted them to play off someplace away from her. "Don't bug me and stay out of my way for a few minutes." It worked. They tore off after the other girls, eliciting shrieks and screams. Lena slunk off into the costume storage and used the opportunity to rifle through the fine costumes alone. Dresses, dresses, dresses. Whoa, what was this? With her eyes aglow, Lena swept her find off its hanger and... oh, yeah! She nabbed the other part off the shelf and ran off to check the fit. Perfecto! She was so enamored of the blazing red pirate coat with its tacky brass trim and its matching, outrageous, white ostrich feather plumed hat that Zelos ended up paying tenfold what it was worth to get the management to allow her to wear it home. "Well, would you look at this one?" Lena said to Zelos. He looked over her shoulder as she pulled out a fantastically ornate and colorful jester costume. "My, my. Hats are on the shelf above. There, it's got slippers, too." Zell had wandered over. "All right. They've spliced those larger amps and speakers, and now I want to test out the microphone pickups. What I need is for you to sing, talk, whatever, and move all over the stage for about 5 minutes, while I test the levels. Give me a minute or two to get up to the sound booth." Zelos saluted him, then turned to Lena. "I think I'll change into this and sing an appropriate song." Lena was about to tell him not to bother, that she hadn't meant that he put it on, but he had already run off, costume in hand. It was the first time in many weeks that the two had spoken in private, even briefly, and to her, Zelos seemed different. Not totally unapproachable, but distant. Out there. Was he just giving her more personal space, or had his ardour cooled? Not that she really cared, she was just curious. "Zelos, you ready? What's that god-awful outfit you're wearing?" Zell gasped into the microphone, sending his voice echoing throughout the hall. "I am a clown." He bowed, which, coincidentally, is the name of the song I am about to sing. "When you are ready." Bobby found Sarah from his band and told her to practice with the spotlighting and try and follow Zelos on the stage. "I can do better than that," she grinned. Down below on the stage, Zelos found a spot marked with tape on the floor below a microphone and waited patiently for Zell's signal. The lights dimmed, and he squinted as an alternating series of colored lights flashed overhead. "Just testing," Sarah called out. She settled on blue, with a yellow spot just about the time Zell shouted, "Ready any time." Zelos searched for Lena. "I have another David Cassidy song to sing. Hope you like it." He paused, and then began an introduction in a sing-song voice, rather than actually singing, while mimicking a marionette.
"See the puppet on a string. Wind him up, he'll sing. Give him candy and he'll dance. Be certain not to feel that his funny face is real."
Zelgata stared at Zelos, and then at Lena, looking for a clue as to what was going on.
"But be certain not to stray, because he'll steal your heart away."
Then Zelos mimed the act of putting on a serious face. Lena was mesmerized. Gowrie folded his arms over his chest and scowled as Zelos began to sing.
"I am a clown. I am a clown, clown. You'll always see me smile. You'll never see me frown. Sometimes my scenes are good.
Anna was entranced, listening, her attention riveted on Zelos. She understood his meaning and was being respectful. Zelgadis was about to stop the act before trouble started, but then he too seemed caught up in the unreality of the situation and did nothing.
He knows what I know if you look inside.
Zelgadis was concerned. This was not subtle at all. Zelos was singing to Lena, and everyone had to know that it was directed at her, for her benefit. But what was he to do if his friend wanted to expose his raw feelings to the world?
I want to live again. Oh, I want to feel. Tell me you love.
His eyes locked onto Lena's as he closed out the song with, Oh. Okay, everybody, back to work. Lena yelled loudly to cover up her blushing cheeks. They've only given us this day. Then others use it for the next 2 weeks. Jeez, how embarrassing. Of course, that does settle my doubts concerning his feelings. It settled Gowrie's horses as well, sending his good mood into the sunset. What Lena had thought were the beginnings of hunger pains, instead, turned out to be her monthly cramps. Not now. Lena wrapped her arms around her middle and stalked off in search of a ladies' bathroom. On her return, it was noses to the grindstone. The Slayers and friends walked through the entire script. One, marking prop changes. Gowrie needs his sword for this part. Zell too, but Zelos and Amelia and me don't. Got that? Yeah, I carry a long dagger thing or I look shorter than I am. Put that down. By dagger. Two, making set movements possible. That boulder's gotta have rollers on it, or I'm not gonna be able to blast my way into that cave. Three, and noting the lighting or sound level adjustments. I want the spot on me, not that little twerp. And you'd better get a microphone up on there where Val's gonna be howling, or he's not gonna be heard. Well, it was Lena's show, after all. Well, mostly. Zelgadis strode up to her. I know this is important to you. Amelia's already filled out 2 notebooks worth of changes, but you're being too demanding. Lena narrowed her eyes. You have no idea! Deciding not to share her ills with him, Lena asked instead, I need some aspirin. You got some? I already gave mine to Zelos. Great! She growled, and stomped off in search of another supplier. Try Martina. She's likely to have something stronger than the Shrine Potions or Clan Tassane's. Zell called after her. Lena had already considered that problem herself. Hey, Martina, she called. I'm dying. You have any painkillers? Martina stuck up her nose. The Lena inverse needed her. Why don't you ask Silphiel or Philia? Haven't they studied healing as priestesses? Either that or go buy some yourself at the market. I don't want any tea or balms. Lena grabbed Martina's arm. You know where the market is? I need aspirin in mega doses. Martina nodded, supremely pleased to know more than Lena about something. It just so happens I do. It's not far from here, so we can walk. I can use a drink. Something with a great deal of energy behind it rushed by Lena's head and struck a tree limb overhead with a dull thud. Hey, are you throwing rocks at me? Lena cried out. What? No, but if I was, I wouldn't have missed. Martina said defensively. I have good aim, which you must recall after my excellent tennis game where I beat you. Shut up! Lena yelled as another object zipped over her head, followed quickly by another. What I recall is the sound of gunfire. A barrage of bullets fired from overhead plugged into the road by Martina's feet. Ah! She screamed and danced around in panic. Get off the road! Lena yelled, giving the other girl a hard shove. You want to get killed? My belief in Zomogustar will protect me! Martina asserted. She straightened up and pulled out a huge pendant on a chain. You're not the only one to wear a symbol of power next to your heart. Huh? Who? Lena asked from her hiding spot in the bushes. Zomogustar is a restaurant, you idiot. And that's a drink coaster you're wearing on a string, not some kind of protection amulet. And this? Lena patted the ring of Zelus, which hung from a chain around her neck and lay hidden beneath her shirt. Won't stop a bullet. As if to prove her correct, another round of shots went off around them. Martina screamed again, this time running to the side of the road and falling into the ditch. Partially hidden by the thicket of roadside weeds and brush, she scooted to Lena's side. That's not what I heard. I was told that Zelos gave you a pendant for protection. It came from the cavern. What brand of lunacy do you go in for? Lena shook her head in disbelief. The cavern is a dance club, and although it's a source of multitudes of drugs and infectious diseases, it's not one for defensive jewelry. Ignoring the world around them for a few minutes, the two girls continued to bicker. Well, what's that ring thing then? Martina insisted. It's a secret. Okay, so it came in handy to say. Who told you about that anyway? It? What it? I thought it was a secret. It is not a secret. Stupid, not if you know about it. What it is the secret. Now tell me who told you about it before I strangle you. Always resorting to violence to get your way, Martina taunted. Look! I wasn't kidding, was I? Lena sneered. Now tell me who. Martina broke down and divulged that Zangalus had passed on to her what he'd been told by Vrimigan. Vrimigan, huh? His name keeps coming up. I met him last summer out at the Ancient's Caverns. Wait, caverns? That's what you said. My necklace came from the caverns. How did that guy know about it, though? Lena didn't have much time to dwell on that point, as their attacker stepped into view. She ducked, hopefully in time. Zazen was a big, older fellow, manly and pale. You can't hide for long. His eyes shifted back and forth over their clump of bushes. Little girls like you shouldn't be out walking alone in the forest. They could hear a cell phone ringing, and for an instant, Lena was thankful that she had taken Zell's advice and shut hers off in her shoulder bag. It would rumble when a call came through. This one wasn't hers. It had sounded far off. It must have belonged to the mystery man, because after the jangling stopped, they could hear him muttering in a low voice. And then he shouted, "Don't worry, I'll catch up with you girls later. This road only goes a few places." He fired off another round into the trees and strode back the way he had come. "You always have the most disgusting men after you," Martinez sniped. Lena retorted with something nasty, and they crept out of their bushes. watching over their shoulders for the man to reappear. The two girls were cautious the rest of the day. When they reached the small general store, Lena found her aspirins, extra relief, and bought a soda. Outside, the two girls found a bench to rest and recover from their shock. Since there were one or two other folks ambling about, they felt relatively safe, but not too safe. "What if he comes back for us? We're sitting ducks here!" Lena agreed. She pulled out her cell phone and punched in a number. "It's me. Yeah, listen, I'm at a market with Martina. Yeah, I know, will the oddness never cease. Anyway, Zangy will know where it is. He and her stopped here together. My point is, some bad dude shot at us on the way." "No, he missed, idiot. But he said he'd come after us. He knows where we are, and..." "How the hell would I know? He didn't pull out his syndicate ID and wave it in my face, Zelos." "Okay, shoot." She listened to his advice and hung up. "Gotcha. Bye." "Reinforcements on the way," Lena said with a sigh. "Zelos? You call him reinforcement? How about the police?" Lena ignored Martina and stood. "Is that a shop over there? That shack? We need to get out of sight." Lena took off without waiting for Martina's answer. "Magic shop," read the dusty sign above the door. "This is better than I imagined," Lena muttered, and opened the door. Before stepping inside, she paused a moment and withdrew the syndicate ring from under her shirt and let it rest upon her chest in full view. Martina, crabbing about their situation, had nearly missed Lena's departure. She turned just in time to catch Lena disappearing past the store's entry and rushed to get inside, too. She hated being left behind. "Hello!" Lena called out. Inside, the tiny shop was empty of people, but the walls were lined with shelves containing brownish powders and herb-filled jars. At the front counter were glass-lined cases displaying numerous joke and magic kits, as in the old fly-in-the-ice cube, faux-spilled drink, rubber pencil, and bottles of disappearing ink. Many of them looked fun to have, Lena thought, but nothing was too amazing or unusual. Martina summed it up. "Dusty old jars and stupid pranks. What a dumb place." Lena shrugged her shoulders and peered over the counter, only to find a little girl with pink hair staring up at her. "Whoa! Hi, little girl. Is your mom around?" Dancing out into the room, the child seemed happy for company.
"My name's Kira, and this is my playhouse when Mama's gone."
"Oh, so this isn't really a store anymore?"
"No, it's been closed forever, but people come in and out at night sometimes. I want to make this into a table. Can you move it?"
Lena looked the giant cauldron over. "Come on, Martina. You've got nothing better to do. Give me a hand with this. Where do you want it?" "Okay." With an effort, the two girls rolled and pushed the heavy pot into the center of the room. Kira, meanwhile, had dragged an old wooden pallet from outside the doorway. "This goes on top, then a tablecloth," the child directed them. Next, Kira made tea from an assortment of herbs and water boiled on a small hot plate. Martina was convinced to run next door and buy a box of cookies. She covered the distance back and forth to the market in under a minute. In no time, the three ladies were seated on upturned boxes around their table, sipping at what turned out to be mint tea and nibbling vanilla cream-filled cookies. And Lena felt better, as if the tea ceremony was a ritual which Lena underwent to cure herself of her headache. A return to childhood where the syndicate lurked only on the outermost boundaries of her mind. Nice. That is, until Martina suddenly jumped up screaming, "Gah! Ants!" She managed to bang into the rickety table and knock over the cauldron, spilling tea and cookies everywhere. "Martina, you klutz!" Zazen's deep voice shattered their tenuous happiness.
"Come out, little girlies! You think you can hide from me?"
Zelos tucked his cell phone into his waistband, grabbed a small bag from his travel rucksack, and slipped out of the play practice unnoticed.
There were several small lanes in the area, all linked to the main thoroughfare which wound through the valley forest into the foothills. The roads formed a network which linked the few homes and stores in town to the primary tourist attractions. Zelos easily found the correct one. There was only one road near their building, and ran like the wind the way Zangalus had described to him. He found the market, and a quick tour of the vicinity determined that the girls weren't inside. As he wandered outside, he heard a car pull up and park. Out of habit, he disappeared into the shadows and watched as a large thug of a man sniffed around the market and then headed toward an outbuilding. Hardly more than a ramshackle hut with a sign proclaiming Magic Shop. Zelos knew he'd find Lena in there. He tracked wide and unseen and entered secretly through the back of the building. He could hear voices within. Lena, Martina, and a much younger girl. As he wondered who she might be, the child in question let out a yip and ran from the front of the store, through a beaded opening to the back room and into his arms with a thump, nearly knocking the wind out of him.
Oof! This is a dangerous place for a kid. Let's get out of here,
he said as he carried the child out the way he'd entered. He really wanted to get back to Lena and considered leaving the child to hide in the shadows of the trees alone as he fumbled with the contents of his bag.
I can do that, Kira said. Pretty.
He smiled and allowed the girl to fasten the clasps on his wristbands.
Thank you, Miss...
Kira, Mister, you've got pretty hair.
She gave a thick clump of purple silk locks a loving tug, then let go.
Ha! Thanks. Yours is a very nice color, too, he said quickly. Shh!
He heard Lena and the thug's voices. They were coming out, too. Zelos urged little Kira to remain hidden in case things got violent, before he stepped into view. He took a split second to take in the situation, and then shouted,
I believe your health is in danger, mortal danger, if you don't take your dirty paws off these ladies immediately.
His voice rang out clearly, even at a distance, as he adjusted the bands at his wrists, which activated his talismans. The amplifiers were the very same ones he had given to Lena a year ago. Zazan had noticed Lena's syndicate symbol dangling from her neck and frowned. He had his orders and wasn't going to actually harm her anyway, but Miss Shira hadn't told him the girl was under other syndicate protection. He was in a sticky situation, kidnapping her, and now this man wearing talismans of a syndicate leader showed up. Who was he? Zelos' arrival was the last straw. Zazan was going to have to abandon his assignment and escape, while he was able. But Zelos didn't know that. He was without his staff, his favorite weapon. That meant he would have to resort to hand-to-hand combat, and the other man was armed. Damn. He cast around for an alternative and settled on a fallen branch. With a couple of lightning-quick moves, he kicked the stick off the ground and into his hand. He gained ground on Zazan, testing the weight and balance of his weapon. Then, with a shout, dove at the man, shoving the butt end into his face. With a twist and a show of strength, Zelos brought the broken tree limb around and broke it across the thug's right hand, disarming him, possibly causing injuries in the process.
Goof!
The man choked out in pain. Ugh! He held the ruin of his arm and bent to retrieve his dropped gun. Lena kicked him in the side, sending him reeling to the side.
Take that, you ugly piece of filth!
Martina opened her mouth to speak, but nearly bit her tongue instead when Zazan used her to boost himself to his feet, gun in hand. He fired off a warning shot, then beat a retreat to a waiting car.
He got away, Lena moaned.
She shielded her eyes from the dust churned up by the receding car.
That's too bad, and we didn't even learn his name, Zelos said in mock disappointment.
Zazan, I think, Martina said.
Yeah, that little girl asked him his name when he came in, and that's what he told her. I don't think he meant to do that either.
Lena explained.
Children can be disarming.
Zelos agreed as the little girl in question came out of hiding to join them.
Uh-huh.
Lena's eyes fixated on Zelos's flashy jewelry. Now, I want those talismans back.
Oh, may I remind you that you hadn't been making use of them since you wore them as protection from Halsiform? And since they were a bit redundant for you, you had generously returned them to me with the thought to give them to Silphio.
Oh, yeah? So what are you doing with them now?
I simply hadn't found the opportunity. I had hoped to do that today during a break.
Martina saw her chance to get something important. I'll buy them off you. $100. They're worth lots more than that. $150, Lena shouted at Zelos.
Lena and Martina continued to throw out counteroffers, while Zelos and Kira looked on. Realizing that Zelos was uninterested in money, Lena finally broke down and promised to go out on a date with him in return for the priceless amplifiers. Zelos, surprisingly, handed over his 4 talismans to Lena, but turned down the 4th date.
I'll let you give these to Silphio, then. She needs them. Temporarily, anyway. More than you.
He moved in closer, resting his hands lightly on her shoulders and massaging them gently.
As much as I would like to take you out someplace nice, I'll pass on this chance.
What? You're turning down a chance to go out with the most beautiful, talented girl in Saerun?
Yes. You see, I want you to want it, too.
He whispered before releasing her. Meanwhile, not one to be bested by Lena for long, Martina sauntered over to see what little Kira was trying to fish out of the cauldron, which had rolled over to the open door of the shack. What's that in there? Here, move it. Let me get that out.
Indeed, Martina felt pleased to discover something in Kira's cauldron, which possibly was worth more than Zelos's gaudy bracelets. A set of CDs with the Syndicate emblems emblazoned on the covers. Official documents belonging to a high-level individual in the organization. Not that she knew what the pictures meant. She just knew they looked important.
Hey, these look neat.
Zelos and Lena looked up. What was Martina up to in there? They joined her as she waved her find like a fan in the air.
Oh my. Zelos took them roughly out of her hands. These are my family's property. See how the patterns match? The CD covers and these talismans? Mine. Believe me, you couldn't make use of these anyway. They are most certainly encoded, probably infected with dozens of viruses that would mess up any computer you tried to open them on.
Of course, Martina disagreed, but he could not be swayed. Instead, he attempted to assuage her hurt feelings with a purchased treat at the market. He also bought Kira a soda and muffin as a thank-you present before she ran off to find her playmates elsewhere. Food worked with most people, Zelos had learned. There was nothing left to do after that, but to accompany the girls back to the Mosquita Theater. Although Zelos couldn't wait to see what had fallen into his hands, it helped to keep his mind off the fact that he'd given up the chance to take Lena out, no matter how it had come about. There was an ever-increasing quantity of work ahead of them, and less time. Tasks quickly outnumbered task-goers, so Zelos sucked in his pride and paid a visit to Daniel Grauchera for suggestions. The man seemed genuinely pleased to see Zelos, and happily agreed to extend his feelers and enlarge his network of busy bees to help with the cause. The musical was, the principal reminded him, a school fundraiser. Oh, yes, it wasn't just Lena and Zelos's project any longer. It was an event, and Mr. Grauchera was there to help them. Zelos smiled weakly and wondered if that was good news. His assistant, Miss Shara, was absent at the time, which he found to be a relief. He'd received a disturbing phone call from her, asking about his personal life, as in, so sorry about your incomplete nuptials, and I'm sure you'll find someone new very soon, but skirting around questions leading to the topic of his progress on the musical.
He shivered at the thought of her involvement in his life. Shira was like a combination of Eris and Zelus, attractive, ambitious, and deadly. His attention was drawn back to the principal's speech. The man had just declared that now was the time for the school to pitch in with its support. As a result, the next few days, refreshments were ordered, and soda and popcorn machines rented with Bunny and her sailing team/band in charge of setting up and serving performance nights. Tickets were placed on sale at the school and several of the smaller businesses around Seirun, thanks to Kagome and her tag-along friends. The principal had a whole tactical unit of placard plasters, posting posters in every shop window, bank office, restaurant, and fast food establishment, led by Duo, Hiro, and their friends. No corner announcement board or any other flat surface would be without a Slayers the Musical publicity embellishment. In the weeks to come, Philia's voice would be heard over the local airwaves, inviting one and all to come to the number one event of the season and learn about the best-kept secret of the century. Well, Zelos thought, the man had a talent for getting some things done. It made him wonder if he had the aptitude to commit murder and mayhem as well. The excitement was growing daily, as were the kids' nerves. As the 2-week spring break from school drew closer, there was plenty to do before the first dry run-through with all the actors. Then, if that went well, the dress rehearsals would follow immediately, giving them a short break before the performance. And if things didn't go smoothly, then their break would vanish with their good humor. Immediately following their last class, Japanese, on Friday, the Slayers and the Flying Figs were on the road to Mosquita. They had made a quick stop at the mayor's mansion to pick up Naga, and food the kids had dropped off. Naga had had a very late night, and wanted only to get in the back of the van and sleep it off. Zengalus and Martina were to follow in his car, having set out much later in the day. Martina did not want to arrive first. Better to be fashionably late. Miwan and John had left the day before to stay at a lovely bed and breakfast they heard about and were extremely lucky to get on short notice. The short road from Seirun to Mosquita wound pleasantly through a heavy forested cleft between two mountain ranges. It was spotted with inns, resorts, and tourist traps, which would be busy even in an early spring with its promise of cold, drizzly weather. Their plan was to meet everyone at the theater building on Friday afternoon. From the other direction, Gilles and Gravos were driving from their jobs on the coast, which was at the other end of the narrow valley. They planned to arrive late on that same day, but since their parts were small, they were in no hurry to get there in order to sit and twiddle their thumbs. "So, did I tell you about coaching Naga for her Zelos role the other day? She's going to be great, Zelos. She's got all her mannerisms down, and the voice inflections." Zelos smiled, casting a glance back at the said slumbering woman in the back of the van. "How's she doing on the chain-smoking and drinking?" Lena punched him. "This is Naga we're talking about, moron. She's a little tall for the part, but wait till you see her in a dress, heels, and blonde wig. Scary, actually. Oh, yeah. It gave me a dream. I was driving along, and then she was there, Zelos, and she was the driving test person, and she kept giving me all these confusing directions. Like, I had to drive to Wolfpack Island, and I kept telling her that I didn't know the way, but then I could see it. She said to gun it, but I said we'd sink. It was a car, not a boat. Sure enough, she slammed the accelerator down, crushing my foot in the process, and the car went flying over the water. My foot was really throbbing now, and she was screaming about my steering, and suddenly we were over land, and she told me to parallel park. I couldn't because my foot hurt. Then I woke up. My foot was jammed between the bed and the headboard." She paused to get her breath, and Gowri asked from the seat behind her, "How'd that happen? Isn't your head supposed to be there, not your feet?" "I move around." "Remind me not to share a bed with you," Zelos muttered without thinking. Lena turned bright red and started to sputter.
That's not gonna... I'm not...
Her eyes flicked over all the blank stares. She asked, What? Don't you understand? Should I start over again? Rodimus, the driver, protested. It's just... Gods, you talk a lot. Yes, she does, Zell nodded. He felt safely out of Lena's reach, with Gowri blocking the way. Yup. From Gowri.
Mais oui.
Agreed Kiki with a huge sigh. She and Amelia were sharing a seat. Lena, still beet red, was about to object when Amelia suggested they park the van and take a walk.
We're halfway there. There's a nice picnic ground not far off, and we can come back and have a snack after some exercise.
Good distraction. Kiki offered to remain with Rodimus, Naga, and the van. You should stay too, Lena told Zelos. Someone ought to be awake in case something happens. She looked off in the direction of Rodimus's slumbering form. For a bodyguard, he sleeps a lot. I believe he's responsible for a great deal of the night duty. As you wish, then, Lena. I'll stay. That suited Amelia perfectly. She was content to be almost alone with Zelgadis again. Lena and Gowri were walking ahead, leaving the two of them to converse privately. Amelia was about to begin a conversation with Zelgadis, but stopped herself just in time. A few weeks ago, Zelos had taken her aside and had a talk with her about her pursuit of his best friend. It's not going to work, not the way you're going about it, he had begun.
No, I thought we were making some progress, Amelia said defensively.
Yes, but, he smiled, let me give you some insight into the male psyche, okay? We are hardwired to pursue prey. The excitement's in the chase. Amelia frowned a bit.
I thought it was the, you know, sex part.
That brought a grin to his face. That too. But that's even better if it's the guy's conquest. What I'm getting at here, Amelia, is that you make it too easy for Zelgadis. He needs to work at getting you.
Well, that's... Humph!
She blew air up into her bangs in frustration.
Mr. Val told me that if I didn't make a move, we'd get nowhere. Zelgadis would never do a thing.
And he was right. Then. Now's different. For instance, he had a blast that night when he kidnapped you from your house in your pajamas. Had the night not ended so tragically, who knows what might have happened next. But I know from what he said to me that it was something he'd like to do again.
He'd better not. Daddy would be so mad if he knew.
That's a part of the thrill. It's an adventure for him. Us all.
You didn't act that way around Miss Lena.
No, I sure didn't. I threw myself at her feet and she used me as a doormat. I was really new at all this then, and didn't know better. I wanted, well, let's just say, I wanted her so badly that I thought telling her would be enough. It wasn't. Then I thought showing her would do it. It didn't.
Are you still in love with her? Even now?
Yes. Maybe. Things have changed. But this wasn't supposed to be about me and my love life gone flat. This is about yours, on the cusp of blossoming into something real. That's what you want, right?
Blushing, Amelia turned her head away. Yes.
Okay. Then step one. Play hard to get. Make him go after you. Now that he knows he can do it, and that he has a fairly good chance of success. Step two. Talk to other guys. Hey, even talking to me makes him jealous. Did you know that? Yeah, he thinks I'm going to seduce you. I'm sure. Although he's never said that.
Really?
She giggled at that.
Why would he think that?
Because I do it a lot. Not to you, but to others, and he didn't like the way I messed with you at that dance club when he was with Kiki.
You were pretty forward.
Her eyes lit up.
Is that why you did that? To make him jealous? Oh, how mean of you! But how sweet, too!
Amelia had given him a big hug, just as Zelgadis stepped into the practice room. She had pushed away the moment she heard his annoyed and astonished, Zelos closed by saying, "Well, thanks, Amelia. I needed the reassurance. Oh, Zelgadis, hello." As he straightened, he whispered in her ear, "Remember." Yes, she remembered Zelos's advice. In fact, she'd made a point of meeting Duo and Hero at another lunch table one day to discuss how to go about doing publicity for the musical. She chose a table positioned in Zelgadis's direct line of vision and sat between them both. She and Duo were very much alike in what they found humorous and their joy of life. Hero, she thought, was too serious, much like Zelgadis. It ended with plans to meet together one day after school at a nearby coffee shop. Zelgadis, she'd noted, with pleasure, had watched the proceedings with a jaundiced eye. So now it was just the two of them, with Lena and Gowrie disappearing around the bend. Amelia looked in askance at Zelgadis, wondering if he would say anything to her. To his surprise, he did. He cleared his throat. So, you and Duo working together on a project for history? She smiled.
No, something else. Hero, too. You know, I think you and he could be good friends, even though he's much younger.
Duo? He stuttered, stunned completely at the absurdity of such a proposition.
No, Hero. He's quiet, smart, and a serious student. Quite a bit like you. Even in his stature. He's Japanese too, you know.
Oh, I didn't know. Is he working on whatever the thing is with you?
Yes, he's more reliable, I think, than Duo, to get things done on time.
I'm sure of that. That Duo guy's an idiot, Zell grumbled.
Oh, not when you get to know him. In fact, he's a little like Mr. Zelos, kinda happy and funny.
Funny is not the word I would use, Zell grumbled more.
So we'll be going out on Monday night, she began.
You're going out? With Duo and Hero. Both? I thought... But what did he think? Did he expect Amelia to be going out with him exclusively? Were they even going out? When he gave it some thought, Zell realized that he and Amelia had been tagging along with Zelos and Kiki for weeks now, especially ever since her parents had been murdered. At first, it had seemed like it was mostly for her, to keep Kiki's mind on other things. But lately, he wondered if it wasn't more of an excuse for him to be with Amelia, without having to be alone with her. That was it, wasn't it? He was afraid to be alone with her, in part, at least. Zelos was such a natural. He made girls laugh. He'd squeeze them in a hug or mash them with a kiss, as if it was a part of his repertoire, which it apparently was now. Zell knew if he tried such a thing, it would be taken seriously. It would be an earth-shattering event. Not that he would. He wanted to. Some. Amelia liked it. She was pretty affectionate herself and equally demonstrative. Maybe if he could be alone with her, he'd get up the nerve again. But what if she wasn't all that interested in him anymore? Her ardor seemed to have cooled lately, what with meeting Duo and Hero. So, Zell guessed, Amelia wasn't really his girlfriend. It took something more to make that happen. But what? Should he ask her? Oh yeah, you just do that, nerdy boy. That would go so well. Oh, by the way, Amelia, am I your boyfriend?
Oh no, Mr. Zelgadis. That would mean you'd have to let everyone know how you felt, and you mustn't go and spoil that cold-hearted, guitar-playing rocker image you worked so hard to maintain.
Zell's stomach had begun to tighten as he stressed over his situation, when he heard cries and screams, lots of them.
Zelgadis, what is it? Amelia gasped. Miss Lena, Mr. Gowrie?
It sounds like trouble. Amelia, stay right here. I'll run up ahead. There's no reason to risk yourself, too. If I'm not back in 5 minutes, he said as he trotted away, Run back to the van and get the others. He was quickly out of sight. In less than 5 seconds, he reappeared, running full tilt. Run, Amelia. Come on, back to the van. Without question, she did, as fast as her growing, shapely legs could carry her. Lena and Gowrie caught up with them at the van. Open the doors, Lena ordered unnecessarily. Now step on it. Rodimus had the engine running the moment Zell and Amelia showed up. No one had to tell him to get out of the path of a thundering herd of crazy fanboys and girls. We just walked into a bunch of teenagers in some kind of weekend camp. They took one look at us and someone yelled, Gowrie! And then they screamed, Slayers! And then they just screamed!
They were saying your name too, Lena,
Gowrie said, panting.
Yeah, of course they were, Lena winked. Then Zell showed up and all hell broke loose.
I do that to parties, Zell said with a smirk. It's why I avoid people.
Lena smacked at him half-heartedly, then sank onto her seat. She and Gowrie simply collapsed from exhaustion after outrunning the crowd. Zell was breathing hard. He looked upon the two and resolved to go off and die his own death.
Even if I do die, Rodimus is here, and Zulf is somewhere. I will not die alone.
As thoughts left his head out his mouth, they were replaced by a shoe to the head, thrown by Lena.
We all agreed we'd go together. No going solo on us.
Gowrie leaned in as Zell rubbed at his tender head and whispered,
It's a lot less painful to just do what she says.